If you have your Bible today, please stand up and hold your Bible over your head. If you're saying, well, we just sat down, I want to tell you, you've already got a complaining spirit. You need to get rid of it. If you can't stand up and hold the Word of God up, something's wrong. We need to declare the Word of God in a day and time to where people aren't declaring the Word of God. You may be seated. We sing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. What an old song. Sounded so sweet this morning. But it talks about something that leads right into what we're going to talk about today. And we've talked on these past Wednesday nights in our Wednesday night Bible study about the truth of God's protection, the truth of God's security, the truth of His written word, the truth of His promises. Knowing that truth and living in that truth are different things. When we talk about trusting, you're trusting in the truth of God. But in that song, as we get to the end of that last verse, we're talking about trusting from now until the end. This is a big deal. I want you to pay attention because there are different times in our life where we will say we've trusted in the Lord. Now, if you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, which I'm sure some of you have, if you have, bear witness of it. You have, then there was a time that you trusted in Him, and that was that initial trust. You trusted in the promises of God that said that God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for you as a sacrifice to take away your sin, because you and I are sinners and God is holy and righteous, and there's no way that we can come to Him unless we come through Jesus. Is that what you believed? And if it is, then you came to Him and you asked Him to forgive you of your sins. You confessed who you are. You confessed who you believe He is. And then you asked for that salvation. That's the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for you because He loved you, because God loved you, and you accepted that, you trusted in that, and you gave your life to Him. That's that initial trust. That's what we call having faith. But our faith doesn't stop at the inception of our salvation. The Bible tells us to keep living our faith. Not to just experience the time to where we had faith, but to keep living that faith. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to several passages of Scripture. And really not sure what order we'll get to them in, but I know we'll start with just a verse in Galatians 2, and then we'll go to Hebrews 10. So let's begin there. Galatians 2, Hebrews 10. Verse 20, Galatians 2, verse 20. When you find your place, say, I have it. Paul said in Galatians 2, 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul was talking about his salvation experience. He was crucified with Christ, means he died to the old Paul, who was named Saul. Nevertheless, he lives. And I want you to pay attention to this because he's making a point to say, yes, even though I gave my heart to the Lord, I died to my old self, I died to my sin, because that's what you do when you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You don't accept Jesus and say, I accept you as a Savior to die for all my sins, but I'm going to continue to sin. No, you died to those sins. He says, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He lives in me. So when you get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. The presence of God lives inside of you. But notice the second part of this verse. He was saying at the beginning that he died to his old self, but yet he lives. He lives this life. And I want to talk to you about this life because this life is the life that a lot of Christians have a hard time getting a grip on. In these recent days, where we've seen things that we didn't think we would ever see. We hear people telling things that we thought they would never tell. People that are stating the truth that is actually not the truth. It's a lie, and we know it's a lie, but yet everybody's buying into that as a truth. Things that we know are wrong according to God's word, they're saying are right. And the Bible tells us this. God's not surprised by this. He said that men would treat evil as good and good as evil. God knows that. But it's in this life that we live, and what causes us to begin to fear. What about this time we're living in? But you're living in this time, so God's got a purpose for you living in this time. And that purpose as a child of God is not to say, I'm going to live in a fear, worry, or anger. It's to go back and say what Paul said. You see, he came to faith. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not yet I, or nevertheless, Christ lives in me. But listen to what he says, the second part of this verse. The life which I now live, I live in the flesh. Now stop here a second. And the life which I now live in the flesh. Now this is not this spiritual life that we're talking about that we're going to live later on in our eternity. This is not life in heaven. He's talking about our life here in the flesh. This life which I now live in the flesh, listen to what he says, I live, how? By faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is key because this is the area we seem to be struggling in. When I look around and I see Christians and we hear different people always talking about what's going wrong and what's going to happen and how is this going to work out and I don't know how this is going to be, and this is terrible. There is a state of anxiety and fear. Should there be concern? Always there should be concern. But when that concern overwhelms you to where it's all you're dwelling on, you're not living in faith. And I want to explain that to you today because we're told several times in several different passages that if we're coming to God by faith, then we need to keep living by that faith. Hebrews 10, verse 35 through 39. If you read the first part of Hebrews, you'll see that we're told that Jesus Christ made that one and only sacrifice that could be made to bring us to God. He told us earlier that it's not possible. Not possible that the blood of bulls and goats would take away our sin, but Jesus came so that he could take away our sin. But in this life that we live, when you get down to the end of the chapter, really around verse 19, and you can go back to read it, there was a call. There was a call to keep persevering, keep enduring, no matter what's happening around you. That's when faith is really faith. That's when faith is really tested. And he says in verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. That confidence is at a surety. Don't cast it away. For ye have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. He will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them which believe to the saving of the soul. Powerful passage of Scripture, and in this passage of Scripture, the writer of Hebrews is telling us that we shouldn't do away with our confidence. Has great reward for this life. Our confidence is the degree of trust that we have, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. That's what the whole chapter has been about. If you came to God and you believed in faith to get to God, then you shouldn't lose your confidence, your trust in Him, when the things around you seem to be getting bigger. He said in verse 38, the just shall live by faith. How many people have heard that phrase before? The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That draw back means that you've taken a step backwards. When things around us happen, sometimes we take a step backwards, don't we? Our faith was strong when it came to coming to the Lord. We believed in Him, so we came. But then when things started happening in life, in this life that Paul was talking about, he now lives in Galatians, things happen in our life. Things around us happen. Sometimes we draw back in our faith. You say, well, how do you know if you've drawn back in your faith? If you've spent time overcome with worry and fear about what's going to happen because the things around you are changing. The trust that you once had is not as clear as the worry that you now have. You've drawn back. The just. Who are the just? The just is a way the Bible is describing those who are justified. The just. Justified means that you have had your sins forgiven. You've been justified by God. There's no justification for us. We can't say this is why we sin and it be a valid excuse. We can't take away our own sin, but Jesus Christ, praise God, took away our sin because He never sinned. So He justified our sins if we accept His sacrifice. And we're told the just shall live by faith. I want you to remember that. The just shall live by faith. And so, I've been asked by a lot of people, what do you do during this kind of time? Did you see this that happened yesterday? Did you see that happened yesterday? Well, I was looking on the news and I saw this happen. And clearly, this is wrong, isn't it? Isn't that wrong? I'll say, yes, it's wrong. Yes, that's not a statement that's right. That's not something we believe in. No, that person shouldn't be in that position when they clearly are going against God's will. But it doesn't matter what I say. That doesn't fix. What I say doesn't fix anything. And they say, well, what do you do? What do you do about that? Well, let's see, you can stay angry. Or you can just live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So my answer is, what are you doing in this kind of time? I'm just living by faith. I'm just living by faith. And man, that sounds so just like a spiritual answer. It's so broad. I'm just living by faith. No, such a deeper answer. And I want you to understand that needs to be your answer. If you've come to God by faith, then you need to be living by that same faith. Paul in Romans chapter 1, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This same Paul, met a lot of adversity, living his life for God. Remember, this same Paul is the one that wrote in Galatians what we read to begin with. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. This Paul had faith that no matter what stand he took, if it was a stand for God, then God would stand with him. This Paul had faith that no matter what was happening around him, the sovereign God was in control. That he was a part of God's plan. He could recognize wrong, he could speak against wrong, but he had faith that God had a plan initiated. And he said, I'll preach and I'll teach the word of God in truth no matter what. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen to verse 17. For therein the gospel, is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There's our phrase again, isn't it? We saw it in Hebrews 10. We see it again here in Romans 1. For in the power of the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What he's saying is the power of the gospel to save is a picture of God's righteousness. God's righteousness is seen in his mercy, in his grace, in his love. The power of God's righteousness is revealed in the action of our salvation. You said you were saved. If you were saved, then the power of God's righteousness was revealed for you to be able to be saved. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. But then he gets to this end of verse 17. And he basically says his righteousness will be revealed in us, in our lives, here on this earth. You see, the power of God's righteousness is revealed in the action of our salvation. It's revealed when our salvation begins. Go back to that time where your salvation began, where you went and asked the Lord Jesus to save you. That was when you came to faith. Faith is belief. That's when you came to belief in God. Do you remember that time? Paul is saying, it's from faith to faith. Now understand this. We're fine if we can remember the time our faith began. But he's saying the just shall live by faith. So that means living from the beginning of your faith to the end of your faith. When is the end of your faith? The end of your faith is when you're in the presence of God Almighty and you no longer are not seeing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you're in the presence of God, you won't need faith. Faith begins when you start believing in God and trusting in Him who you can't see. Faith begins when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your way to get to God. But your life here on this earth, the not life which you now live in the flesh, Paul said, I live by faith of the Son of God. He's saying again, the just shall live by faith. He's not talking about that initial faith. He's talking about the faith that I need to live the Tuesday after the Sunday that I get saved. The 2 years after, the 4 years after, the 20 years after, the 40 years after, that I live out from faith to faith. From the beginning of my faith to the end of my faith. And that is not what we're seeing with a lot of Christians. They came to faith, but they're not living by that faith. So what do you do in a time like this? You just live by faith. That same faith that brought you to God. Paul saying that when you come to faith in Jesus, then you need to live that faith from faith to faith. We read it in Hebrews 10. He said, don't cast away your confidence when you hit troubling times. Use enduring faith. That same faith that you had when you believed and trusted in your way to come to God. I want you to consider Paul was writing this, saying, I'm not ashamed to declare it no matter what's going on around me. Do you know what was going on around Paul? Paul ministered in the midst of some of the most wicked government administrations ever. Ever. Even to the corrupt church. Paul ministered to people that rejected and refused Jesus Christ in the name of God. Paul ministered no matter what was going around him. He was imprisoned in Philippi, chased out of Thessalonica, smuggled out of Berea, laughed at in Athens, considered a fool in Corinth, stoned in Galatia, beaten and imprisoned various times, various groups of leaders, religious, political. This man Paul said, I'm not ashamed to boldly declare the gospel to anyone, no matter what situation I'm in, because it's the power of God on display. What was he doing? He was just living by faith. How did it work out for Paul? Pretty good, right? And we hear this phrase, the just shall live by faith. Do you know where this phrase came from? This phrase came from an Old Testament book called Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet. And in chapter 2, verse 4, you say, well, Habakkuk said the just shall live by faith. No, God had to tell Habakkuk the just shall live by faith. Amen. I want you to go back and read this book sometime. Amen. I'm going to give you the overview. All right? Just the overview, can I? Habakkuk lived in a time of just fear and worry about what was going to happen. Habakkuk was a prophet of God. And there was this king that the Bible tells us was a great king, and his name was Josiah. He was a king after there were bad kings. His father Asa and grandfather Manasseh, they were terrible. Josiah came back in, and what he implemented, the book of the law, they found and they put it, and boy, they turned around. When Josiah died, I tell you, Habakkuk was heartbroken because the people started to turn back away from God, accept things that had been not accepted before, and started not accepting things that had been accepted before. And Habakkuk cried out to God. If you read chapter 1, he cried out to God. What are we going to do? How is this going to keep going on? God answered him and told him. He said, Habakkuk, I'm going to lay you in on something since you're a prophet. I'm going to judge this people that have turned away from me so quickly. I'm going to send the Chaldeans or Babylonians in to conquer them. And he's like, well, hold on a second. You can't send a pagan nation in to take us over. We're your children. He says, exactly, you're my children. But don't worry about my plan. I'm going to judge those that come in too. He said, but as long as you live here and go through this, I want you, this was God to Habakkuk, you need to live by faith. I want those who are justified, those believers, to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. No matter what is happening around you, I'm ordering you to live by faith. And he goes on to tell him, I've got you. You're mine. I see what's going on. You don't have to hold my hand. Habakkuk. Just live by faith. You had faith in me when everything was going good. Why don't you have faith now? Maybe because you didn't have faith. Hey, I tell you. I sit down and I seek God for which way to go, and God gives you all this material and teaches it to you. I get up here and I don't know what order to follow it in, and don't really care that I do. As long as I can get to you what he's trying to get to me. The just shall live by faith in God's power, in God's knowledge, in God's righteousness, to do what is right even if we don't understand it or can't see it. That's what faith is. Amen. Those that have been justified, let me tell you, newsflash here, share it with everybody that you can. It's not a complicated answer. What do you do in a time like this? You just live by faith. If you're a child of God, you can live by faith because of Psalms 147, 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. We might not know it, but he knows it. Isaiah 40:28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He's not scratching his head saying, what are we going to do? If that's the God that you have faith in, then live out your faith in him. Don't take it back and try to figure what you're going to do. Jeremiah 28:24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? This is God saying, I am big. I'm everywhere. You say, you're just giving scripture. This is God's word. If you have faith in him, it should get all over you and comfort you right now. Psalms 139, listen to verse 1 through 6. O Lord, thou hast searched me, thou hast known me. Thou know my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path with lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou know it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. The psalmist says, you blow my mind, God. You know everything about me. You even know when I'm thinking this certain way. Help me, God. I just want to live by faith. Why does my faith back up? My faith backs up because I'm not living out my faith. I go backwards when I start trying to think, I know all these things. This is the way that it should be. And so I began to see myself as Habakkuk, and you should too. God told him, I've got this. If you've been justified, live by faith. I'll take care of all the rest. We're told in Job 14:5, God's numbered our days. He knows exactly how many days we're going to be here. He knows that. Well, surely you need to be concerned and maybe worried a little bit, because what if this happens and what if that happens? God knows how long I'm going to be here. Down to the second, the minute, the day. He has them numbered. And then Jesus said in Matthew 10, God even has the hairs of your head numbered. You say, well, that's easy for you. No, no, no. I've got them. I shaved them off. They would be harder to count than yours would that he could see. They're in there. It's trying to let you into God's mind. The God that you had faith in knows that. Did we forget that? When we got upset this week that this has happened or that has happened, the God that has your days numbered, that can number the hairs on your head and has, because he claimed it through his son Jesus Christ, he's got this. I'm not living by faith in myself. I'm living by faith in him. I'm not living by faith in my administrator. I'm living by him. I'm not living by faith of some politician. I'm living by faith in him. Guys, quit living by faith in people and start living by faith in God. Quit living by faith in legal organizations and start living by faith in God. He's got it. Paul said, I don't care what it looks like. I'm not ashamed. Why? Because therein is the power of God revealed from faith to faith, from when I began my faith till the end of my faith. Does it matter what the people around me are saying about me whenever I'm claiming my faith in God? No, it doesn't. Does it matter what the people around me? No, it doesn't. But God's going to use that time to reach them. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. Romans 11, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Sometimes it's just good to read the scripture. If you go to Hebrews 11, which you're at Hebrews 10 first, if you go to Hebrews 11, you'll see that after talking about, and think about this is, immediately after talking about having an enduring faith, immediately after talking about not drawing back because you're a child of God that came to faith, immediately after talking about having that confidence, that patient endurance while things are going on before the end of our faith is realized, during that time, then we're given chapter 11, which is the roll call of those faithful people in the Old Testament. And chapter 11 begins by explaining that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hoped for doesn't mean a wishful hope. Hope means living with a confident belief. It's not a hope like we talk about. It's a confident belief. And then he gives all these different examples. These people that believed before Jesus even came. They had a belief in God before their sins were paid for by Jesus. We're told that these people, they waited on a promise. He started with Abel, and then he moved to Enoch, even both of those two. We go back, and Abel had a short bit written about him in Genesis, but what did Abel do? Abel offered a sacrifice that was pleasing to God when his brother Cain didn't. Abel took of his livestock, he took a blood sacrifice, which is what God said it had to be, because there had to be animals killed to put the skins on to cover their sins to begin with. It was a blood sacrifice, and Cain, he just took some of the fruit. You see, when you pick one of the squash off the vine, even as a beautiful squash, there's more that are coming on. When you take a blood sacrifice, you're taking something that can't reproduce. There's a lot more trust in Abel's sacrifice. Amen. I'll give you this. Enoch, the Bible tells us he walked with God. He lived out his faith. In a time where we know men began to get wicked, go back and read the genealogy. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared. If you go down to Enoch, Methuselah, you'll see that Noah was right there and the world had already turned wicked. But not Enoch. Enoch just lived by faith. You say, oh, surely it's more complicated. I'm telling you, God gives us easy stuff to remember. How many times this week, I mean, I used to be able to come in and watch the news, and now, as soon as I hear something that's speaking untruth, I turn it. That means I'm either turning a lot or I'm turning it off. And I thought, I'll ease my mind, so I'll turn over here and watch sports, and I can't even watch sports because they have an agenda that they want to say, so I turn it off. You say, what do you do then? Well, then I say, I'll just live by faith. That's what I've had to say. Just living by faith. It's not any more complicated. I'm living by faith that the God that I gave you the verses about a minute ago, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and he loves me. And he's promised me if I don't draw back in faith, that at the end of my faith, I'm going to be with him. I'm here because he's numbered my days and he's chosen to keep me here during this time. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to praise him because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ that saved me, that brought me to him. So I need to bear witness of that's what I'm told to do. And it tells me in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, not only is this faith something that's good for me? If I want to be right with God, I need to have a faith past the time of just accepting him. He says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, what kind of faith? Well, God must be pleased with me because I accepted Jesus as my Savior. That was my faith that I had. But the verse doesn't stop there. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, listen, verse 6, Hebrews 11, For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Well, that's what I did, preacher. I came to God, I had my faith, and I believed that he was good. That's your faith, but it's not faith to faith. He said, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You should have a word. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What does diligently seeking him look like? Diligently seeking him means that that person is wanting to be near him, wanting to know more about him, wanting to be obedient to him, wanting to hear him, wanting to speak to him, wanting to obey him, wanting to represent him, wanting to trust him. Basically, that person is living by faith. The just shall live by faith. They're living by faith. Not the initial faith. They're living every day by faith. I hear a lot of people today, and I would have said it's comical, but it's past comical because people actually believe it. But they consider themselves people of faith. I know back during the campaigns, I would hear people characterized, and they were giving characterizations of themselves, and we were told that certain people were people of faith. They should have clarified faith in God. But they're called people of faith, and people accept it because they think people of faith are people that believe that there is a God. A person of faith is a person whose life is defined by their relationship with God. Their life should represent their belief. Their life should represent their trust, their dependence on God, their obedience to God. In other words, they should be the person that's diligently seeking him. That's a person of faith. You see, there are different degrees in our faith. There's a degree of our faith that we have when we come to God. It's that initial degree. You sit somewhere or you're talking to someone or maybe you're in a service or maybe you hear that you're separated from God, but that God loves you, that he made a way for you to get to him. You realize you have to accept Jesus as your Savior, and so you use that initial faith, and you believe in a God that you can't see, and you believe in a Jesus that you haven't seen. You believe that by faith, and you put all of your trust in that. That means your hope in that. You say, I want to give my life to you in that belief. That is faith. You become a person of that first degree of faith. But if you just stay that person, then you're not pleasing God with your life. You please God with the decision you made. But how many people want to use your life to please him? Of course we do. He wants you to be a person of faith no matter what the situation around you is. Now, you look back at all those people of faith in Hebrews 11. You think about the different situations from Abel to Enoch to Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph to Moses to Rahab. No matter what the situation, what did they do? Was it complicated? No, they just lived by faith. Now, the stories are different, the actions are different, but they applied that one principle. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm going to trust God. Think about Rahab in the middle of a city that was being attacked. Hey, listen, I'm going to leave this cloth hanging out my window, and I trust y'all. I'm going to put my life on the line, my family's life on the line, because I believe in your God, and God honored her. For what? For just living by faith. I think we spiritualize that word faith so much that even the people around us think it means just believing in God. The Bible does tell us that we need to believe that God is the creator, that he is the sustainer, But our belief has to go past that. Our belief has to go past that he's just the creator. There are people today that say they're people of faith and they believe there's a God, but they've never put their life in their belief. They've never truly come into fellowship with God because they've never accepted Jesus as their Savior. The Bible tells us that we are children of God by our faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:26. We are children of God by our faith in Christ Jesus. That's pretty clear. That's a short one to remember, right? The only way that you become a child of God is by faith in Christ Jesus. What is faith again? That's believing. But that is not the level of faith that God wants us to stop at. He wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to live out our faith on a daily basis, believing, trusting, obeying. He wants our faith to determine our actions. I remind you again what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. The life that I now live, I live out my life by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It still seems like Paul is blown away by that when he says that, right? That God, in his riches and glory, loved me and gave his Son for me. So I'm going to live out my faith. You didn't hear Paul say, I'm going to keep just living in that experience that happened on the Damascus Road. No, Paul lived out his faith. You never see Paul afraid. We're even told in the book of Acts, when you get to the book of Acts, when everyone else was afraid around him and the ship was falling to pieces. Listen to this, because when your ship is falling to pieces and everybody is scared, what are we going to do? Paul said, you woke me up for this. God told me I was going to Rome. Go back to bed. Everything's going to be fine. Paul, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? No, I'm just living by faith. This same God told me that nothing was going to happen to you guys. That's what he told those people on the ship. Even though the ship's going to be broken up. Oh, well, we didn't want to hear that detail. We don't want the ship broken up because that gets into a different level of our intellect. If the ship is broken up, surely we're going to perish. No. No. God said, I want to tell you the same thing I told Habakkuk. No matter what happens around you, I've got you. I've ordered your days. I'm in control of this. I've got a plan. I'm sovereign. It's going to work the way I want it to work, but it's not going to benefit you any unless you live by faith while I'm working it out. I think sometimes even we as Christians and Christians living in America feel like we're entitled to all these things to just run smoothly. And we forget that if you wanted to be concerned, you shouldn't have started just being concerned a couple of weeks ago. In these past years, even before, do you realize that the soul of our nation is stained with the blood of millions of babies that have been innocently murdered? Do you think God can turn his head at that? And then all of a sudden, we're going to get upset because somebody has said something about some other thing that we care about. When the blatancy of things are what they are, and you can accept some kind of policy because it goes along with something, but at the same time, things that are clearly told that are wrong and against nature are accepted by all the parties that are running, and nobody's saying anything against them for fear of social kickback. Listen, you're acting like things are just gotten bad. No. You live by faith. The faith that started, the faith in the middle, the faith till the end. James said in James 2 that faith without works is dead. Meaning you can say you have faith, but what good does it do a man to say he hath faith and have not works? The works is not what you get out here and you do with your hands and your legs. The works is the action of faith. It's the action of believing. You know, since I've been in Hebrews, I guess we need to talk about Hebrews 6 a little bit. I don't have time really to go into it a lot, but be good to put it on your notes. I had about 5 sermons here, so I've just picked a little bit out of every one of them. In Hebrews 6, sometime go back and read verse 13 through 15. Hey, I tell you what, I feel led. Right? Listen. Since we were in 11, talking about Abraham, for when God made a promise, verse 13, Hebrews 6, 13, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, did you hear that? Patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by greater, and an oath and confirmation is to them that end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. God's promises are the hope set before us. Just like Abraham sought. And if you went back to Hebrews 6, verse 10, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work. These actions of faith, God doesn't forget those. He sees if you're living by faith. But if you live by that faith, praise God. When you get to verse 19, it says, which hope we have is an anchor for the soul. Listen, if you don't have your soul anchored in God, living by faith, you're going to get washed all around in this time. One day you may be up, one day you may be down. One day you saw this, one day you heard this. As a Christian, you're not going to have any stability. But I live in the hope of the promises of God Almighty, the one and only true sovereign God that loved me and gave his Son for me. So this life that I now live, I'll live by faith in the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Why? So that I could panic here? No. So that I can represent him with patience. What a premium. What a premium thing to have. Patience. That means we have to wait. We have to wait to see God work. Habakkuk had to, didn't he? Paul had to. Abel had to. Enoch had to. Abraham had to. Jacob had to. Moses had to, Noah had to, Rahab had to. You see, if you're not waiting, you're not using faith. You live by faith. Your faith will be realized. You're going to see the Lord. Until then, you live by that faith. I'll close with Romans 5. Somebody tell me the just shall live by faith. Somebody tell me what you're supposed to be doing now. Just living by faith. Tell me. Just living by faith. The just are just living by faith. That should be easy for you to remember. We're just living by faith. What do you do when this happens? Listen, there'll be something that happens tomorrow that you hear that's breaking news that you don't know today. Can I tell you the answer for it? Just live by faith. Don't get blown away. Get your anchor in there. Just live by faith. You say, oh, well, you're just putting it all on God. It's all on God anyway. Amen. The part that he put on me, what is that part? Just live by faith. Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, he made the peace. by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We're justified by our faith. The just should live by faith. Not that faith that just believes there's a God. That doesn't get you to God. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that God created this world, believing there is a Jesus won't get you to God. Your faith has to go deeper than that. It has to be belief that you can come to God through the promises of God, where He said, I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to give Jesus Christ, my Son, for you. He's never sinned, so He will pay the price for your sin. You have to believe in that and accept it. Confess to me who you are and who you believe I am. I'll read your heart. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. I'll read your heart. If you want to come to me and accept me because I am God and I want you and I'm putting my love on you, then ask me for that salvation. I'll give it to you. Whoever comes to Him, He won't in any wise cast out. If you have faith in Him, He won't push your faith away. But after you come to Him in faith, you have to live in that faith. Like Paul said, life that I now live. What's he talking about now? After Damascus? The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave Himself for me. Paul got justified. And since he was justified, he's called just. And since he was just, he was living out his faith. So what about us? Where are we in living out our faith? If you're not living out your faith, it's going to be evident to you right now because you don't have a confidence. You're not living in that hope. Because of that, you're not doing much to light any of the people groups around you with anything but fear or anger. God calls you to live out your faith, the actions of faith, security of faith, that believing in something that you can't see, resting in the promises of God. You're anchored in there, and somebody is seeing that you're anchored in there. There's security there. Isn't that why we all come to God for security? Well, how do you think somebody's going to come to God? You being an ambassador of Him, if they don't see the security of God in us. The just shall live by faith. What's the answer? We need to be just living by faith. Sounds so simple. But as Habakkuk was told, God's got this. He'll continue to have it. You know today where you're at in your walk. Are you living by it, or have you had initial faith? You say, well, okay, you've identified the problem that I've got. Now what? Then you have to have an act of faith. What is the act of faith? Once you see what God said, bend a knee to Him. Talk to Him. In every case, in every situation, every example in the Bible, once somebody realized they weren't where they're supposed to be, they began to speak to God. That's how you get back where you need to be. You speak to God. No different than any other relationship. There's something that happens between me and my wife. I don't fix anything by thinking that I need to go and talk to her. What do? I go and talk to her. That's what you have to do to God. Use this time. Talk to Him. Have you been justified? Would you be considered the just? Are you living by faith? Just answer it for yourself. Use this time. If you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior and you want to make sure, I'm going to be standing right here. I'll pray for you, but my prayer won't do it. Your prayer will do it, but I'll pray with you. Maybe you just want to come and just talk to God. Then use this time during invitation to come and talk to Him and tell Him your faith isn't where it needs to be, but you want it to be. He'll strengthen you right now. He's just looking for you to trust in something that you can't see. Trust in Him. And maybe you're living in that trust. Hey, you're the person that really needs to be praying during this invitation. You've got direct communication with God. There's a reason for everybody to be talking to Him. Would you stand with me? Father God, I love you. I pray, Lord, you would take this time and speak to hearts. Speak, Lord. For those that might not be saved, I pray for their salvation. I pray they would see their need right now, Lord. For those that are saved, I pray, God, that you would let us examine where we're at in our walk with you. Are we just living by faith? In Jesus' name, amen.